A few weeks ago, if you've been a part of this study, you know that Jonah was eventually thrown overboard off of the ship that he was on by the mariners because of the storm that had been created because of his running from God. We know that God had prepared a great fish to come and to swallow up Jonah. And for 3 days, that was the condition that Jonah was in. That was the position that Jonah was in. Jonah described the conditions, and we used our imaginations for some of it. But no doubt, that was not a favorable position for Jonah to be in. He was in a dark and miserable and awful place in his life. And yet, for 3 days, he continued to live in that condition because of his stubbornness and because of his pride. But after 3 days, after being in that place of affliction, after being in that place of misery, the scripture says that he cried out to the Lord, that he began to seek God's help in all this. And the amazing thing that we tried to give attention to last week was found in verse number 2, that whenever Jonah said he cried by reason of his affliction unto the Lord, that the Lord heard him, and out of the belly of hell he cried, he said, and the Lord heard his voice. And the point was this, is that God did not care that Jonah had rebelled. God did not care that Jonah had run at that time, or at the time when Jonah sought to make things right. So whenever Jonah cried out to God, God was willing to listen, God was willing to answer, God was willing to restore, and God was willing to use Jonah again. And I tried to remind us last week that it doesn't matter what our sin is. It doesn't matter what our failure is. If you and I will be willing to humble ourselves and to cry out to God and ask Him to forgive us, God always hears our prayer. There is never a time in our life where we cry out to God when there is true humility and where there is true repentance that He says, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm not listening to you. Nope, I'm not dealing with you anymore. Thankfully, God does not handle us many times the way we handle people in our lives. And so it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful truth. And I would encourage you, if you're still running from God, to stop and to cry out to Him, because it would make your life so much more enjoyable and obviously so much less miserable. That being said, this morning I want to mention something. You know this to be true, but probably not thinking about it this morning. The statement, the thought, the idea is this, is that when something is valuable or when something is popular, there is most likely going to be a fake or a knockoff of that thing that people try to pass off as the genuine real deal. Does that make sense? That when something is popular, when something is valuable, there is going to be someone out there with something that is fake. It's not real. It's not genuine. It is fake. It is phony. It is an imitation. And yet they are going to try to pass it off as the real deal. Now this morning I'm going to use two items to illustrate this thought. And just stay with me on this so that you'll understand this. Ladies' purses. I'm not into ladies' purses. Okay? I've bought several purses for a lady, but that's not what I'm into. Here's what I know, that there are purses out there of which Susie does not own. There are purses out there that a lady can buy, and they're well over $1,000. Again, we don't own any of those, but they exist. Because they exist, guess what also exist? Fake purses that are made to look like the $1,000 purses. So they would have some of the same design from a distance. They would have some of the same look. And for someone like myself who doesn't know any better, you could put a real one beside a fake one or the fake one beside the real one. And if you said to me, because this is not something I care about, which one is right, which one is true, which one is legitimate, you know, touch it, look at it, feel it, do whatever you need to do. I could do all of that. And I'd probably, at the end of the evaluation, say something like this. I don't know. But guess what? I don't care. Because I'm not buying Susie a $1,000 purse. Not today, anyway. That being said, there's a pen company out there. Ink pen. By the name of Mont Blanc. Now, some of you are probably more apt to buy an expensive purse than you would be to buy a pen. I'll just show you real quick. Here's what stupid looks like. See, this pen is one of the cheaper ones, and this one was $250. You can buy a Mont Blanc pen for $15,000 to $20,000 if you're interested. Okay? In my younger, dumber days, I truly, sincerely, genuinely wanted a Mont Blanc pen. My dad is a collector of pens. He has some fine pens. So I wanted a fine pen. So I bought my first Mont Blanc several years ago. Those now go for $450. This one is one of the cheaper ones, $250. Now here's the thing. A pen also has fakes and phonies out there that people are trying to pass off as the real deal. So guess what? Whenever I bought a pen and paid far too much than what a pen is worth, okay, I understand. Get that out of your head. We've all wasted money on certain purchases, okay? That this just happens to be one of mine. Now here's the point. Whenever I began looking for a pen, it was important to me that I got the real deal. And there are certain things that I know to look for whenever I'm looking at a Mont Blanc pen. And so there are just certain things that because I care about it, that's what I'm going to look at. So if you gave me a real Mont Blanc pen and you gave me a fake Mont Blanc pen, I would be able to look at this and within a matter of a couple of moments, I'd be able to tell you, well, this is the real one and this one's the fake one. This one has worth and this one has no worth. This one is genuine, this is not genuine. And I know that kind of stuff for this reason. Because there was a time in my life where I cared about that kind of stuff. So a lady may be able to look at a purse and say, oh, good grief, Kyle, that's the fake one. Can't you tell? And I'd be like, I don't know, because I don't care. And I might be able to look at the lady and say, well, that's the real pen. Can't you tell? And she'd be like, I don't know. I don't care about pens. See, if we don't care about something, then we don't care if it's real or fake. But if we do care about something, we should care if it's real or if it's fake. I don't care if you're talking about coins, if you're talking about jewelry, if you're talking about watches. It doesn't matter. If that's what you're into, you need to care if it's real versus fake. Okay? Now, why do I say that? Well, this morning I want to ask us a question. In our society today, how important or how many people does it seem care about having a good time? Enjoying life? Well, it would appear if you look at our society, if you would look at our culture today, it would appear as though that seems to be a pretty important issue. I mean, people are always looking for a good time, right? People are looking forward to Friday night. Why? Because that's when they're going to have a good time. People are looking forward maybe to the tailgating on Saturday or maybe the Sunday afternoon football game today. And in all of this, they are looking for a good time. People are very much consumed with having a good time in life and having fun and making memories and all these other things. People are consumed in our society with enjoying life. Why are we consumed by this? Because it's valuable to us. Is it not? I place great value in enjoying life. And you place great value in enjoying life. We make a big deal out of trying to enjoy life because we associate a great value with it. Making memories with family, making memories with friends, having a good time with said people. It is valuable to us because of its value. Obviously, it is important to us. So let me ask you another question. Is there a mindset in this world that says if you do this, you will be happy? but it's not being honest. It's not legitimate. It's not the real deal that it's promoting. Does that make sense? A good time is important, and a good time is sought after by everyone. Why? Because it is something of great value. It is something of great importance and significance to us. Okay, so everybody wants to have a good time. Everybody wants to enjoy life. Everyone wants to have fun because we have placed this significant value upon it. So let me ask us, in the world that we live in, is there a right way and a legitimate way to know joy and to know gladness and to know favor and to know good times? Is there a legitimate way to do that versus illegitimate ways to do such? Well, of course there is. You know what the world is constantly trying to do? The world is constantly trying to do this to us, to everyone we know. The world is constantly trying to say this: if you will do this, you're going to have a good time. And if you will do this, you're going to have a good time. And if you will do this, your family is going to have a good time. And if you will do this, you will have a good time. If you and I simply paid attention to the marketing ploys of this world, we would think that the happiest people in the world are the people who are living for the world and nothing else. Would we not? And yet, who seems to be some of the most miserable people you could meet? The ones who are living for the world and what the world tells them is a good time. See, there's a fake out there. There's a phony out there. There's this idea of a good time and a great life and everything that this world has to offer. It is fake and it is phony, but it is constantly trying to pass itself off as the real deal. And friends, it's fake. Now follow this. If we care to truly enjoy life, to have fun and make the most of the life that God has given us, then we need to care as to what the real deal is versus the fake. That which is true and that which is false, this which is authentic and that which is a copy or something that is a lie. We have to know the truth. Now, why do I say that? Well, this morning I want us to think about something. I want us to think about Jonah and where he was at the beginning of this story. Best we can tell, Jonah was a man of God who was seemingly a preacher of God's word. The reason I say that is because God does not call the ungodly and God does not call unbelievers to be his messengers of judgment to other people. That's not how God works. God does not call lost people into the ministry. And God does not call the ungodly and the wicked and those who have no use for Him to go and to be a messenger of righteousness and to be a messenger of judgment and to be a messenger of warning to people who are living in sin. That is not how God works. And so while we don't know all the past of Jonah's life, there are certain things that we can assume is that, and one of them being is that he was a man of God who was being used of God in some manner, in some way, among God's people. But what did Jonah do? Well, when God called him to preach to the people of Nineveh, he ran. He was going to run from God's will. He was going to run from God's desire. He was going to run from God's plan for his life. And how happy is Jonah right now? Well, he said in verse number 2 that he cried by reason of my affliction. He's not a happy individual right now. He's not exactly enjoying life. He's not exactly making memories that he wants to share with everyone. Jonah is not in a good position right now because of his rebellion toward God's word and God's will in his life. Well, how did this happen? What took place in Jonah's life that caused him to get to this position? Well, Jonah is going to answer that question for us in verse number 8. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. Every time I read this, I love this portion of Scripture. Jonah says in verse number 8, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now, if you're familiar with this verse, then you probably already know what it means. But you may sit here and say, oh, I've never read this verse before. Or if I have, I've never really paid much attention to it. So you may not know what it means. So real quick, I want us to look at a few of the words here that Jonah uses to make this statement as to what happened in his own personal life. He speaks of lying vanities. Lying vanities. What is that which is vain? Or what is something that you would say that is vanity? What does it mean for something to be vain? It means this: for something to be empty or worthless or something of no real value. If something is vain, if an item is vain, if a person is vain, if something is vain, then here is what it means: that it is empty, it is worthless, and it is of no real value. So he speaks in verse number 8 of lying vanities. What is a lie? Well, a lie, as we know, would be this: it is something that is not true, it is not accurate. Does this make sense? And so if you think about this, here's what Jonah says in verse number 8. Here's what he declares and makes known for whoever would read this in the years to come. He says, there are things out there that he would identify or describe as empty lies. Worthless lies. There are lies out there that have absolutely no value to them. So here's a lie, and if you began to evaluate it, if you began to look at it, if you began to think about the lie that was spoken, here's what you would realize: that is an empty lie. It is a vain lie. It is void of any significance or worth or value whatsoever. There are empty lies all over the place. We'll deal with that more in just a moment, but there are empty lies all over the place. Now notice what Jonah said in explaining how he got into this position of affliction and misery. He says, they that observe lying vanities. What does it mean to observe a lying vanity? It means this: to give attention to something. It doesn't mean to reject it. It doesn't mean to turn away from it. It doesn't mean to forsake it. No. Whenever you begin to observe something, you know what you begin to do? You begin to give it attention. And so here is Jonah, and he is speaking of empty lies. And what Jonah declares is this, is that it is possible for a person to begin giving attention to lies that have no value, no worth to them. These lies, while they promote themselves as having worth and value and benefit and pleasure, they are absolute, empty, pointless, worthless lies. You can give attention to it. And what Jonah declared is this, is that when a person observes these lying vanities, or when a person begins to give attention to these empty lies, here is what happens: they forsake their own mercy. They forsake their own mercy. What does it mean to forsake something? It means this: to leave or abandon something. To leave or abandon something. And so what did he say you are leaving? He said you are leaving and you are abandoning your own mercy. Well, what is mercy a reference to? What is Jonah talking about when he speaks of mercy? He is speaking of that which is good and that which is kind and that which is favorable. Now follow this. Here is what Jonah says of his own life, of his own situation, his own set of circumstances that he was in. He says, when a person begins to give attention to empty lies, you know what they do? They begin to forsake, they begin to leave, and they begin to abandon their own good way of life, where they have known mercy, where they have known favor, where they have known good things. When a person listens and gives attention to empty lies, they themselves are responsible for abandoning everything that was good and favorable in their life. Think about this for just a moment. Jonah, where was he prior to us being introduced to him in chapter 1? He had to have been among the people of Israel being used of God to be a prophet or some kind of a mouthpiece for God. Okay? That is where he was at. Was he talking about his affliction prior to that? No, he wasn't. And so as a result of God calling him to go to Nineveh, that's not at all what God or what Jonah wanted to do. And so what did Jonah began to do in his own personal life? He began to give attention to some empty lies. What were those empty lies? Well, they were this. Run. Just run. And Jonah, just keep running. Jonah, you can outrun the presence of God in your life. Because that's exactly what Jonah said he was trying to do in the first three verses of the book. That he was going to flee from the presence of God. Now, friend, you could only get it in your head that you could flee from the presence of God if you began giving attention to empty lies. Jonah began listening to this empty lie and giving attention to this empty lie that said, not only can you flee from the presence of God in your life, you can do so without any measure of consequence. See, Jonah really thought that he could get as far as Tarshish, get away from the presence of God, get away from the all-seeing eye of God. And here is what Jonah truly believed, that he would be able to do all of that without the consequence of God in his life. Friend, that was an empty lie that he gave attention to. For just a moment, consider God's plan, God's will, God's desire for Jonah's life. Go to Nineveh. How much better off would Jonah's life have been if he had just done what God told him to do when he told him to do it? Well, obviously, his life would have been far better off. He wouldn't have found himself on a ship that was about to be destroyed by the storm that he was encountering. He would not have found himself thrown over the ship and eventually swallowed up by a well, staying there 3 days and three nights. Understand this, please. Jonah wanted to maintain a certain kind of life, a measure of quality of life. There were things that Jonah wanted to maintain for himself, but when his desire conflicted with God's desire, there was this empty lie that said, Jonah, just do what you want, and Jonah, live how you want, and it'll all be okay, and it'll all be fine. And Jonah listened to the lie. And Jonah forsook his own mercy. See what Jonah did here? He let this fake idea or this fake notion, this phony idea, this phony notion that you could run from God and still be happy and still enjoy life and still know the favor of God in your life and the favor of man in your life. Jonah listened to that which was a lie. It was fake, it was phony. And he bought it, and he regretted, listen please, he regretted falling for it in the end. It looks like happiness. It looks like joy. It looks like favor. It looks like goodness. Problem is that's not real joy. That's not real goodness, and that's not real favor. That's not real mercy. No, Jonah, if that's what you do, you are forsaking and leaving and abandoning your own mercy. Now this morning, this may not be the most gripping of thoughts or the most gripping of ideas, but I want us to think about something this morning. We said a moment ago that every one of us want to enjoy life, correct? Yeah. If you don't want to enjoy life, then I don't know why you wake up each morning. I want to enjoy life. I want to enjoy life in every area of life. Now, does that mean that you and I have perfect days every day? Well, of course not. We know better than that, right? Amen. We should know better than that. All right, so we want to enjoy life. And you and I this morning would say, well, you know, that's very important to me. Okay, well, if it's very important to you, then how important is it to us that we get real joy, real gladness, real favor, real mercy? Do you want that which is authentic and that which is real? Or do you want that which is fake and that which is phony? It's something we ought to care about. I don't want fake and phony joy. I don't want fake and phony gladness. I don't want fake and phony favor. I don't want fake and phony mercy. I don't want the imitation of that. I want the real deal. So if that's not what I want, and this is what I want that which is real and that which is authentic and that which is legitimate, then what can I not afford to do? I cannot afford to observe lying vanities. Does this make sense? There are empty lies out there. There are empty lies out there that try to get my attention, and there are empty lies out there that try to get your attention. How many people this weekend have already made themselves miserable pursuing a good time? Think about it. How many people this weekend, Friday night, they began the process of pursuing what the world says, this is a good time, and by Saturday morning, they were not relishing the good time they had had the night before? How come? Very simple. Because they bought the fake, the phony. They did not buy into that which is real. They bought into because they gave attention to the empty lies. How many people this morning woke up not feeling too well, not having the greatest of mornings, and not wanting people to talk too loudly because of all the good time they had last night? Talk to them tomorrow morning when they go to work broke. And no happier than they were Thursday night. You say, well, how are you enjoying life right now, big boy? Well, I'm not enjoying it too much. Well, how come? Well, I don't know. I'm just not very lucky, I guess. I don't know. I just need a new surrounding. I just need a new set of circumstances. No, you don't. See, here's the problem is you've been giving attention to empty lies. And as a result of giving attention to empty lies, you have forsaken and you have left and you have abandoned everything that was good in your life. How many people do we see in our community, and how many people do we see all around us, and they are constantly chasing after joy and gladness and happiness here, and they're chasing it here, and they're pursuing it here, and it's like no matter what they accomplish in life, no matter what they obtain in life, they're still not enjoying life like the world said they were going to. They're everywhere, aren't they? How does that happen? Because they have given attention to the empty lies. See, the world says, here's a good time, here's a fun time, here's a great time, here's what will make you happy, here's what will give you joy, here's what will make you the life of the party. And the world says, well, okay. Only to discover it doesn't happen. They are truly of the mindset that they don't need God. They don't need God's authority. They don't need God's will. They don't need God's plan. They don't need that. I'll enjoy life without God. Well, for a little while you will. But that'll run out. And you will be in the belly of the well, so to speak, at some point, saying, this isn't fun. Like the world said it was. Now, this morning, you and I, we want to enjoy life. We want to have a great life. We want to make good memories, and we want all of this. And we say, okay, well, it's very important then that I go after that which is real and that which is authentic. And I do that by staying away and not giving attention to the empty lies. And that's all right, and that's all true and correct. But we better recognize this. Satan knows how to package lies to you and I that look pretty authentic and look pretty real and look pretty genuine. I've mentioned this before. I don't mean to just hound on this, but Friday night, my struggle was not how drunk am I going to get. That's not what I struggle with. I can tell you how drunk I'm going to get every Friday night, and that's not at all. Because you got to drink in order to get drunk. My struggle was not, I wonder how high I'll get this weekend. You got to smoke it or push it or whatever it is, snort it, to get high. So that's not my struggle. But do you understand that as a child of God, as a servant of God, even kind of like what Jonah was, that Satan can package certain things that look so good, and it looks so real, and it looks so authentic, and how could this possibly be wrong? Because here's what happens many times. This is how it happens. No, it's not drugs, and no, it's not alcohol, and no, maybe it's not exactly what it should be, but I think I can do this and still be happy. And I have to begin justifying it and rationalizing it. See, Jonah's struggle was, I'm just going to run from the presence of God and I'm going to be okay and I'm going to be fine and everything's going to work out the way that it needs to. And that's how Jonah rationalized his sin. But do you realize how many ways we can justify and rationalize our sin? Our rebellion? Our running from God's will for our life? You know, so Satan's not going to hit me up in the same way that he may hit another person up. But Jonah could begin saying, okay, now Kyle, if you'll just do this, you're going to have a good time. And Kyle, if you'll just do this, you'll have a lot of fun. And Kyle, if you'll just do this, you're going to have more joy than you know what to do with yourself. And you know how many times I have bought the fake in hopes of finding joy? Only to discover that all I had done was forsake my own mercy. Because there is not a good life to be found in living in disobedience and rebellion to God's word, no matter how insignificant we may think that rebellion is. Well, it's just a little bit of rebellion. It's just a little bit of sin. It's just a little problem. Well, the problem is this, that little sin, that little rebellion, that little problem will eventually turn into big sin and big problems and big rebellion. And then pretty soon we're looking at that, what promised us joy and gladness and a good time, and it's not near as great as it said it was. Can I be honest with us this morning? There are two types of people in this church right now. Two types of people in this church right now. There is this person who right now is engaging in what they think will lead them to joy and gladness and favor and blessings and all these other things. They think that's where they're headed, but they have observed and they have given attention to empty lies, and they are on the road to living a miserable existence. There are people like that in this church right now. Well, who are they, Brother Kyle? I don't know. Because we don't know everything that's going on in the hearts of people right now. Because every one of us have these little hidden chambers of our heart that we don't want anyone to know about. Okay, so there are people right now, and you know what they're doing? They're struggling, and they are contemplating, and they are giving some attention to some lies that Satan is telling them, saying, if you will just do this, I promise you, you'll be happy. I promise you, you're going to enjoy life. If you will just do this, you are going to be so much better off. And you know what they're doing? They are beginning to give attention to an empty lie with a false promise, with a false sense of gladness. Everything that they don't really want is what they are going to eventually get, because they are observing false lies, empty lies. It's happening right here in our own church. There's a second type of person in this room. Right now, they're pursuing that which is real. They are pursuing that which is authentic. They are pursuing that which truly leads to mercy, to goodness, to favor. But even that person is capable of being tripped up by the empty lies of Satan. See, we may sit here this morning and say, well, I'm thankful that I can truly say this morning that I am not the person who is forsaking my own mercy and who is giving attention to empty lies. I am so thankful that that is not me. And listen, if that is you, fantastic, praise the Lord, I am happy for you. But let's not sit here and pretend that we can't give attention to the empty lies. Because every one of us have the potential. Because Satan is going to package it and make it look like this is where the good life is found. And he will give us all the excuses we need. He will help us justify it any way we need to. Satan is capable of giving us every resource needed to give attention to the false lies that will eventually destroy our own life. Jonah, how did you get in this position? Jonah, how is it that you went from being a man of God, wherever you were abiding at, being used of God in some manner, how did you get from here or from there to here in the belly of a well for 3 days? How did that happen? Well, Satan told me I'd be happy. And Satan told me I could. And Satan told me it'd be okay. And Satan told me it'd be all right. And Satan said everything's going to be just fine. And I gave attention to it. Whenever I did, man, life got miserable quick. How many of us right now, just be honest with yourself, I don't obviously don't want any kind of visual or verbal response, but how many of us right now, you know that you've got fake joy? You've got fake gladness. You've got fake happiness in your life. You know that you are living from one good time to the next good time to the next good time in hopes that'll be what it is that satisfies you. But you know in your heart of hearts you're miserable. And if that's not you, how many of us this morning would say, you know what? I'm thankful that right now I'm following the Lord, but how many of us this morning would say this, but I know I've got to be careful because I've got a flesh just like everyone else. And I can be led astray if I'm not careful to buy into this fake, phony mentality of the world's sense of gladness. I know I can, so I just want to be careful about that. Which one are we this morning? And what needs to happen? What needs to take place? Do we need to make some things right in our life? Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Fathers, I come to you this morning. I don't know if this message has come out in words.